Okay. So, yeah, I do a lot of one-on-one work with people, either privately or in workshop or retreat settings, and now I'm doing webinars online as well. And so I find that there's much more value when we work together. As somebody said earlier, it's all God's work. That was Baby Jesus, yes. So coming together, rather than one person nattering on, and it may not be, relevant to you. I like to make things relevant and as powerful for people as possible. There's, of course, a time and place for just listening, and there's a lot of that going on. So I read so many books. That's another form of just listening, reading books. And I always thought, the answer is going to be in the next book. And so I just consumed books one after another looking for this answer to what question I didn't even really know. When I got the Power of Now, I thought, that's it. This book's got to have it. And then I read that and it was okay. There was still something missing. Because, of course, it's not in a book. You're never going to find it in a book. I even read a book of a Zen master, and I thought, for sure, the answer is going to be here. And it wasn't. So that was when, when I came to the end of that, when I had read every book I could think of and find and get my hands on and found that none of them had the answer, was when I started to look within. And that's the benefit of working with someone one-on-one, is that you get to look within, not look outside for an answer. So it's an opportunity that usually costs money. So if someone does want to work with me today, that'd be great. If they don't, that's fine too. I'm just going to offer you some of what's been happening this week in terms of my connections with other people on various topics. I think the one that is top of mind right now for various reasons, including the quote that Lynn brought up from my Facebook post, which was, "You are not what you think you are." That's outstanding, yet good news. Yeah, outstanding. When I first heard that, I thought, huh? What do you mean I'm not who I think I am? What a strange thought. Hey, looks like we're getting some volunteers. That's great. What a strange, strange thought. I'm not who I think I am. And that caused a lot of inner looking instead of the outer looking. And it led me to question, who I think I am. this whole idea of myself, this idea of ego. And ego is spoken about a lot in A Course in Miracles. And a lot of people speak about ego in the spiritual world. Not the ego, not the kind of ego where you just sort of, think highly of yourself, or that you're bigger or better than someone else. That is conventional ego, and certainly there's a part of that. But true ego, in the spiritual sense, goes a lot deeper. A lot deeper. So, the ego, what is ego? Ego is the idea of yourself. It's self-image. It's who you think you are. So there's actually no such thing as ego. And some people think that, ego won't allow them to forgive. But, with no such thing as ego, there is nothing that can allow or disallow you to forgive. That fits in with the post I wrote today, when I heard someone say the words, I realized it was my ego. And that was such a strange statement to me. Who is the speaker doing the realizing? And what is this thing that belongs to them? Because if it belongs to you, it should be no problem, right? You see, it is you. And until you face this directly, you won't see it. It is you who believes bad thought feelings about things, people, or events. There is no one and nothing else. And that's good news, because there's nothing above you. You are the highest. You can stand in your integrity and your authority and no longer blame anyone or anything else, including ego. So this idea we have of ego can now kind of, we have something, we have a scapegoat. We have, oh, it was my ego. Instead of seeing the truth of what was really going on. Few people are ready and willing to look at the truth of what is really going on. Few people really want truth. I mean, really want it. Above all else. People would rather, you know, think that ego, you know, is something you can improve. you know, if, or they think it's something that they have only some of the time. You know, and this is where we get ideas like, that was my ego. Well, that was my ego, but this was not my ego. So I have this thing called ego, and it's only here some of the time. There's no such thing as a part-time ego. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. It doesn't exist. Full-time or part-time. However, you can sustain a belief about yourself, an idea about yourself, so that it looks like it is persisting. It looks like it is real. But it's not, and that's the good news. The bad news is, as long as you believe it, you experience it as if it were true, as if it were you. And you don't know the difference between you and ego. I know, because I've been there. And that's why the sentence, you're not who you think you are, really struck home. Because it really points to this confusion about who you are. Someone asked me today, they said, I get the sense that you feel you are entirely free of ego all the time. Is that accurate? I've already addressed the all-the-time part. My response is that for this body-mind, ego died in the woods after an explosion of love knocked me to my knees crying with the intensity of that love. And then uproarious laughter exploded between crying. I was laughing and crying and laughing and crying. When I looked up at the trees, I saw them directly as me. As me. I did see the trees, don't get me wrong, there were the forms and the wind and the leaves, but there was the recognition of myself that was inarguable, that could not be missed. And the last gasp of ego was, it's over already? Because that me that I thought I was could no longer speak. I tried to speak as who I thought I was, but it was gone. And after a while, the voice came back. It was far away to the left and faint. And I recognized it as who I thought I used to be. There was that recognition. Huh. But I knew who I was, like never before, with this body mind. And I asked who that voice was, but no answer came back. Because it's not a who. It is not me, and it is not you. The cosmic joke revealed in love and joy, and this came after seeking God and after giving up, after surrendering. So one of my posts this week was, give up your will. Give up even your will to do God's will. Everything must go. Don't hold on to anything. You think you're saving something. It's nothing. And in fact, it's causing you pain. Most people, though, don't want to give everything up. They just like to have their sense of their self. Yeah, maybe we'll let go of this little nasty bit here and that little nasty bit there. I don't want to let go of the good stuff. I think this is good stuff. Whether you have a good ego or a bad ego, you still have ego. You don't know who you are. You may think you know who you are, but you're mistaken. Being free of ego does not mean being sweet and perfect all the time. So you can't become free from ego by trying to be a good person. Now, there's nothing wrong with being, you know, a good person when you can. It's not going to awaken you or enlighten you, or it's not going to do anything for that end. You see, it's a symptom, not a cause. Buddha wasn't the Buddha because he did nice things. He did nice things because he was the Buddha. So if you take who you think you are and just make it nicer, all you'll get is a nice ego, some of the time, not all of the time. And probably most of the time, there's suffering going on. So what to do? Well, anything you try to do, you, the false you, won't work. The only thing you can do is surrender, to give yourself up. The jig is up. But this is not going to happen until you have tried everything, until you have done so much and tried so much and discovered it doesn't work. It's still not working. So there comes a point of humility. And that's what happened to me before the explosion of love. The reason, I mean, I hadn't come to the point of I tried everything. Well, there was more stuff I could have tried. But what happened was I fell in love with love, otherwise known as God. I fell in love with love and I was in such ecstasy. There I was, literally in the woods with my arms up in the air saying, do with me what you will, I don't care. How could, you know, I care about anything in this glorious joy and love and bliss. It was all that mattered. And the heart cracked open. In that humility / love. So I know. I can say for absolute positive certainty with authority that love is one way. I've heard and had somewhat of an experience later, which I'll tell you about in a moment, that through self-inquiry, you can come to the same end, and it completely makes sense because they say when you seek God, you find yourself. And when you seek yourself, you find God, your true self, not ego self. And so you need to discern. So whichever path you take is better. And sometimes you'll switch back and forth. After what I call the direct seeing, the voice that everybody's familiar with had come back. The capacity to speak had come back. And while I knew who I was, it still didn't know who or what it was. And this was an interesting space for a while. And so I went out one day back in the woods and did intensive self-inquiry with mind. And I'm not going to cheat you of this, because I think everybody needs to do this for themselves. So I'm not going to tell you what happened. I'm only going to tell you that you need to do it. Basically, mind short-circuited on itself and came to understand what it is and what it is not. And so it was liberated. Now it doesn't need to do anything anymore. There weren't, any explosions with that. There wasn't any laughter and love and joy and all of that, but it was probably as equally important, if not more, than the direct seeing. So you don't have to have fireworks. You don't have to have, these amazing experiences everybody talks about. Even as it was happening, I knew it didn't matter. Nothing mattered. This was very clear. Still is clear. And so I never sought it again. Some people who have this experience somehow miss something in that. And they think the experience is it. And they want to go back to the experience. They have to get it back. And I could see how this can be very torturous, because you can't. You is the ego who wants to get it back as something it acquired and added unto itself. And the harder you try, the further away you are. So it's futile. Oh yes, if you Google my name, it's three E's. So don't seek the fireworks. Don't seek the joy, the bliss, whatever. That will come if it comes. It doesn't matter. Seek to know the truth of yourself, or seek God. Fall in love with love, if that's where you're drawn to. I'll tell you how I fell in love with love, and then we could look for a volunteer. Looks like Dolores is offering. So, how did I fall in love with love? So, it seems so ridiculous now to not be in love with love. but I do remember back then where I was in love with the world, with worldly things. I thought the world made me happy. Things, people, events, partners, achievements, money, careers. Mostly it was human love. I thought human love made me happy. Our whole society is inundated with what I call the happiness lie. That was the name of my second book. My first book was Alchemy. The happiness lie is the belief that things, people, or events make us happy or unhappy. And if you believe they make you happy, you have to automatically believe they make you unhappy. And so your life is tethered to the winds of change. And we know that life is always changing. And you go up and down, up and down, up and down, completely out of control with whatever happens. And I suffered. I suffered very severely when I was denied the love I thought I had to have. And it was in the midst of that suffering that I discovered the joy that we have, that we all have, that is innate, that is our birthright, that is always present and available. and has nothing to do with things, people, or events. And that happened because of a few things. Because I call it the alchemy of love and joy. Alchemy means fundamental, irreversible, final transformation. And the love and the joy come in because I wanted only love. And that meant to give only love. Somehow I knew that. Which meant I would not blame anybody for my pain. Not mentally, not verbally, not in their presence, not in their absence. Period. Zero tolerance. And the second thing was because my father had suffered so severely and became depressed and committed suicide, I had promised him that his experience and the family's experience would not be for nothing. I didn't know what that meant at the time, but I vowed I would find out. And initially I thought it was about money because my dad, you know, struggled with finances. But that was a symptom, not a cause. And so even though I was in excruciating pain and I wanted it to end and the thoughts of suicide arose, that was not an option either. So what we normally do when we feel hurt or abandoned or whatever is we go and we blame somebody mentally or verbally or whatever. You know, he hurt me, she hurt me. And it seems like you get a little bit of relief. But it's very little. And it's not complete and it's not pure and it's not love. So I refused to do that. And I didn't know what else to do because we're not taught that we have any other choices. At least I wasn't. In fact, we're taught to suffer very well when we're children, aren't we? If we were crying and our parents didn't want to listen to us, what did they do? Send you to your room. If you want to cry, go to your room. Okay, what do you do there? Cry really hard, right? Because now you have permission to cry. You can cry in your room. Suffer really hard. But how often were you ever sent to your room to feel good? Anybody? I was never. So we're taught to suffer, and we're never taught to know joy. Then we have the happiness lie, which means things now control our happiness and our pain. It's no wonder our society right now is the most connected, the most rich, and yet the most unhappy, with rising suicide, depression, anxiety rates unheard of, unseen before. Something fundamentally wrong is going on. A lot fundamentally wrong is going on. Anyway, there I was, with no known way out of my pain and suffering. And so in that moment, I just stopped. Stopped. And in that gap between wanting, because I've been wanting, I want this, I want this, I want this, and the answer was, well, you don't have it, you don't have it, you don't have it. In that gap, I just stopped. And I heard, you can give yourself whatever you want. Huh? And I went back into suffering. But I hadn't missed it. And that was now thrown into the mix. I can give myself whatever I want. Well, if that's true, then it is inside of me. I knew that mentally, but I didn't know it actually, having not had the experience, having always believed I experienced it from the outside. And I came back to it. I said, well, okay. Well, if that's true, well, the next question begged was, well, what do I want? And I didn't know. Here I was doing all this suffering, but I didn't know what I wanted. I knew what I didn't want. So it took a little bit of time. But then I struck gold. Yeah, I wanted that person's love. I wanted that person's respect. I wanted dignity. Everything that I wanted, it just came one after another like that. It just, And all the energy that was being used to suffer flipped over into the most amazing love, joy, peace. It was mind-blowing. And speaking of mind, mind came up and said, no, you can't feel good because, you know, A, B, C, D has happened and everybody else in the world would agree. Back into the suffering. It was a whoa, what was that? So I did it again. I answered the question, what do I want? Bang, there it was. And so I did this back and forth for a little while that day. But because I was done with pain and suffering, and I preferred to feel good and love and joy is what I actually truly wanted, I stayed with it. I didn't have any words for it. I didn't know what I was doing. Those came later through helping someone else spontaneously. And I had no way of describing what was going on for me over the next 6-9 weeks. But I was on a high. I went around like a kid who just realized they're in a candy store and all the candy's free. And I pigged out. And it was awesome. Everywhere I went, didn't matter what I was doing, I was feeling joyful. And after a while, body and mind got a little tired and I realized, oh, there's other flavors here. I can just enjoy peace. Quietude. And then one day, for a friend, the words came through me to her and she made the same shift. And I went, oh my God, it's not just me. These are the words. And I wrote the book. And then I started helping people. And over the years, I've gotten better and better and better and better at helping people. And what happened was, for 9 months, I went around giving myself everything I wanted. I was completely self-fulfilling for everything. And an equanimity settled in. And I lost interest in the world, in worldly things. That didn't mean I didn't function. Didn't mean I sat on the couch like a vegetable, functioned perfectly well. I was just no longer wanting or avoiding. And a deep equanimity settled in. And then the question arose, okay, now what? What's important now? It was nothing except one thing. And that was to know the divine truth, to know source, to know what's going on here. Where did I come from? Where do I go from here? All of those questions that we all ask at some point in our lives, usually as children, and then get brushed aside. That desire grew. And it grew and it grew and it grew. It was magnetic. And I was being drawn out into the woods on my own for hours on end. I was experiencing what I now call micro bursts of love. They were huge to me then, but not since the major explosion at the chest. And I was experiencing them all the time. I used to seek them, and then it was like they started to seek me. They would happen spontaneously. So if you seek love and lose yourself in it, I got to tell you, it's seeking you. It is waiting for you. It can't wait for you. It's calling. This is why we all have this nagging inside. So follow it. Follow it. When I first started to follow it, you know, I'd start to feel really good for no reason. Or I'd just be appreciating a tree or a plant or a flower or a rock or a rusty nail one day in a restaurant. And the love would grow. And it started spontaneously on its own. So indulge in love for love's sake itself, just because you can. And allow yourself to be consumed is a joyful way to God, to truth, to reality, to awakening. If you're drawn to that, go for it. don't stop. When I started to experiment with it, mind would come in and say, oh, you can't feel that good. It's just a tree or a rock or a stone. And I said, oh, yeah. So I ignored that and I proceeded. Because it, how you feel has nothing to do with anything outside of you. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Zilch. So you are capable of so much more love and joy than you have lived or imagined. And actually, it's been your imagination that has kept you from it. You imagine love or joy comes from someone or something, and therefore it's limited by the someone or something. I call that the hierarchy of happiness. It's a false hierarchy of happiness. You know, whole society lives by it. You get an ice cream cone and you get a certain amount of happiness, but you get a new car, woohoo! Aren't you so much more happy? Why limit yourself? You are the unlimited. But don't believe me. Test it out. Try it on. See for yourself. I would have had a hard time believing me too, I have to say. But if you either have had enough pain or you just cannot turn away from the truth, you will go all the way. And nobody and nothing can stop you. So now I walk people through the practice I call alchemy. And it's a series of questions. And I don't ever tell you anything or teach you anything. I know you have everything you need inside of you. All this does is make space for it to arise. You can get a set of audio CDs of me working with people, walking them through the practice at innerpeaceofmind.com. Innerpeaceofmind.com. Or you can have an experiment with it to me today. We don't have a lot of time. I could take one person with something not too big, just as a demonstration. Dolores, Dolores. Is Dolores waiting? So let me give you a little overview of what happens so you know what you're getting into. Easy. Okay. So you basically, we take a time when you felt bad. And you don't always feel bad, so obviously there was a moment when you felt good. So Deezy, if you can, think of a time when you were feeling okay and then suddenly you weren't. And just notice what you saw or heard or thought. Just what was going on. Don't try and, you know, figure out what was going on. Just notice in that moment what is actually going on. And then what I do is walk you through a few questions. Okay, we have been given lots of time. Thank you. So, thank you. So, Deezy, if you let me know when you have thought of such a time, using a time when you thought somebody hurt you or when you thought somebody did something to you, these are great. They're really fun. But anything that comes to mind. You got one? Oh, she's good. She's fast. All right. So I got to give up the mic, right? Her hand is up. I don't know how this works.
Good evening, everyone. And Cindy, can you hear me? Okay, great. Yeah, this is real easy for me. Last Wednesday, I was written up at my job. I was put on a performance warning, and I have until January to perform. I'm a fundraiser at a college, and I have to get so many gifts in. And they told me right before I went on vacation for a few days this past weekend to Pennsylvania, and they told me right before I went on vacation that this was the case and I had to sign the paper. And so I am feeling a lot of shame because I don't really like the area of fundraising that I'm doing. I like kind of like what I do, but I don't like the area that I'm working in now. And I can probably honestly say that I haven't been performing. I haven't been doing what I want to do. I want to blame Awakening Radio because I sit and listen to that all day at work. But that's not the case. I'm not blaming anyone. But that's the thing that I'm dealing with right now. And I'm letting go of the mic.
Okay, great. That's perfect. Thank you for sharing that. And I hear you're accepting the responsibility for the performance. But that's not the kind of not blaming that I'm talking about. So that's great. Thank you for giving that short little bit. Just to help us along here, if I type Mike in the screen, I need to interrupt. Okay, so I don't know if you can do this, if you can watch the screen at the same time as you answer things. This is part of the reason I generally don't do this here is because it's hard, but I think we can do it. I have full confidence in you because I can tell you can do this. Okay, so the feeling of shame, I'm pretty sure there were some other feelings there too. Can you just... tell me, you know, how it's a problem that you've been written up in your own words. There's shame. What else?
Well, there's a feeling of unworthiness. I've been in fundraising for 18 years or so. And this is kind of, I feel ashamed about this. I've probably been let go from like three jobs. And so I feel unworthy. I feel less than. I feel like, what's wrong with me? I like what I do. But then I feel like I'm lazy. But I'm not. I get a lot of work done and I think I've done a lot of good too. But so I feel like there's something wrong with me. I'll let go of the mic.
Thank you. That was perfect timing. I was going to ask you. So let me ask you this question. How does the thought feel that, or how do these thoughts feel, that you're lazy, you're less than, there's something wrong with me? And I don't want you to describe how they feel. I just want to check in with you. How do the thoughts feel, good or bad?
Bad. They make me want to cry.
Yeah, okay. So when I ask this question, my sole purpose in asking it is to bring it to conscious awareness that the thought that you're putting your attention on is what's hurting, not the reality, not the circumstances, okay, the relative reality, not what has happened or what anybody says or does, but the thought you're putting your power of attention on. Great, very good. So I want to ask you this. What do you think of the people who gave you this write-up?
what do I think? I feel like, I don't know. I have mixed feelings. On one sense, I feel like they're kind of fair. On another sense, they've had me diverted from they give me the least responsive people because I'm the new kid on the block and giving me a lot of work that has diverted me from what I could do. But I'm scared to, I don't know, I just have mixed emotions about the people.
Okay, fair enough. Do you have any judgments about them?
Yes, I guess I do. I think my direct report, I think she's condescending. I think that I have a lot more experience in the field than she has. I think sometimes she could be jealous or something. But yes, I do.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. So So you were feeling fine until you got the notice that you were being written up. I don't know what that was. Was that an email? Was that an interview, you know, with the boss? How did that come to you? Slip of paper? What? You can just type it in there. Can you just type that in there, DZ? Okay. Yeah, meeting. So it was a meeting and a slip of paper. Okay. So you were fine until the meeting, and then you went in the room, and they said, yeah, you're being written up. Here's a slip of paper. And then suddenly you start to feel bad, right? Okay. I'm going to give you the mic, and I want you to answer as quickly and directly as you can. In that moment, if you could have anything you want in the world, and you can, what do you want?
I want to laugh and probably give her a kiss.
Okay, when you answer this first question, you can't be bigger than the problem. Okay, don't try and be a big person and be bigger than it and laugh it off. I'm just checking with you. This may not have been that. But from what I'm getting from you, the answer is you're just trying to be bigger than it. Because, you know, you're saying you felt shame and unworthiness and all this. You can't then say, I just wanted to laugh and give her a kiss. That may be what you mentally would like as an adult, what the adult is telling you I should be like. Okay, that's not the answer I want. I want the answer like if I were, you know, had a child in my presence and they were playing with a toy and I took the toy away and I said, you know, they were crying and I said, what do you want? They're not going to say, well, I just want to laugh and give you a big kiss. They're not going to say, I want the toy. Okay, so this is very honest and childlike. You get to have whatever you want. So the way to answer this is to look at what you don't want. Then you'll know what you do want and it will be the opposite of what you don't want. I'll give it back to Mike.
Okay, so I thought you meant how would I wanted to act, what would have been the best case scenario, but what did actually happen was I had this burning sensation in the pit of my stomach, and I got really kind of confused and really sad, and I just wanted to crawl under a rock. That's what actually happened. But I would have liked for the response to have been that I was still happy with myself.
Yeah, nope, that's not what you wanted either. All right, so when I ask you this question, what I don't want you to do is to go into the suffering, which is think about and re-experience what it was like, you know, the burning and the pit of steam. This is not what you want. So you're asked the question, what do I want? What do I want? Not what I don't want. It's good that you see. What you didn't want is not the burning or in the pit of the stomach. What you didn't want is to be written up. Am I correct? Okay. So this is how simple and honest you need to be with it, everybody, when you're working with these questions. Don't try and be bigger than it. Don't try and change it into something else. You need to look right at what it is you're attached to. Right at what it is you don't want, because we're not going to be in denial of it. But not also to engage it, to fall into it, to suffer with it. Just to look at, okay, just to notice, yeah, that's what I don't want. This is, you know, what the attachment is. And then to use that and turn it around, it's going to be the exact opposite. It's going to be a thing, a person, or an event that you do want. So let's try it again. So in that moment, what do you want? You can have anything. It's Christmas time, magic wand. What do you want?
I guess I wanted her to tell me what a stellar fundraiser I was, am.
Okay, very good. All right. Yeah, let's go with that, okay? Let's go with that and see what happens. All right. So how does that thought feel? Just quickly, I'm not going to give you the mic. Does that feel a little better? No? For her telling you you're a stellar fundraiser? Yeah, okay. See that? just a switch of attention onto a different thought. And there's already an effect. And she's here in this call. I don't know where she is. She's at home or something. And how did you feel when you were talking about the burning in the pit of the stomach? How did you feel? Just type that in there. Yeah. Yeah. You felt bad. You felt stressed. Maybe you were starting to re-experience what you experienced in that room. But it's not happening. You see? It's not happening, but you can feel bad even though something is not happening. This right there illustrates the fact that things don't make us feel good or bad. It's whatever thought you're putting your power of attention on, it's one of your three powers, that is what, in the moment, makes you feel bad. It is your red flag. It is your guidance system. It's a wake-up call. It's an opportunity. What we have done in the past is when you notice a bad feeling, you tend to believe it. You tend to believe the accompanying thought. And you go out and you say, oh, what's going on? Why do I feel bad? And then you ask the why question, and then things get worse. Why am I feeling bad? Oh, because I was the third child of four, or because my brother ran over my toe with a red truck when I was little, or because this happened to me, because they give me the pink slip or whatever. You start to feel bad because you're putting your power of attention on a bad feeling thought. Nothing is good or bad except what mind makes it so. I think there's something like that in ACM. If anybody knows a quote like that, feel free to throw it in. So just to notice that is a learning right there. And then the moment that you put your power of attention onto, what a stellar fundraiser you are, you get relief. And nothing on the outside has changed. That's what happened to me. I went back and forth between pain and suffering, and there I was laying there, she says it shifted quickly. There I was laying on my bed. Nothing outside of me changed. This is what blew my mind. And this is what completely eradicated the belief in the happiness lie. I could never again say things like, he hurt me, it stressed me, because I know it's not true. So to continue on from here, I need to talk about your other three powers you were born with and to demonstrate them. So, first of all, you have the power of awareness. Everybody is born with these three powers. Everybody has the power of awareness. And the power of awareness is free. You can't turn it on, you can't turn it off. And I can demonstrate it by asking you how easy it is to hear what you hear. Is there any effort whatsoever? Whoever wants to reply in the chat can reply. Just notice. Can you turn it off? Yeah, no effort, eh? Ah, there you go. Thank you for that quote. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. William Shakespeare, Hamlet. Thank you. So everybody agrees. Not that it matters. Only you matter. Hearing is effortless. Awareness is effortless. So that's all we need to say about it. We don't need to do any more about it. Then there's your power of attention. And your power of attention, I can demonstrate by asking you, yeah, you're welcome to stay here a bit. I can demonstrate your power of attention by asking you, are you feeling your right foot right now? Anybody? If you weren't sitting on it, you probably weren't feeling it. Are you feeling it now because I mentioned it? Is anybody feeling it before or just because I mentioned it? Pretty much because I mentioned it, right? Yeah, okay. There's always somebody who's sitting on their foot. Doesn't matter which one I pick. Yeah, because I mentioned it. Very good. All right, so what happened? Had your foot stopped feeling? Oh, maybe it did for you, chair 33 because you were sitting on it. But no, what happened there, everybody else? Had your foot stopped feeling? Now, people will say, well, no, I didn't, you know, I just wasn't paying attention to it. Yeah, people know that your foot didn't stop feeling. They'll say they weren't paying attention to it. What is this not paying attention to it? What is that? How can you not pay attention to something? You can't not pay attention to something. What's actually going on is that you have contracted your power of attention down onto one thing to the exclusion of everything else. And when that happens, you can lose awareness, not your actual awareness, but you can lose awareness that that sensation is there. So you can basically, in your experience, eliminate a body part. Not in reality, but in your experience. So if you can eliminate a body part, how much more can you eliminate access to knowledge, wisdom, information about other people? Very easily. And that's exactly what happens when you contract your power of attention down onto one tiny painful thought in your head. That's called unconsciousness. So, feel your feet, and then can you feel the top of your head? Anybody here can feel the top of their head? I mean, not with your hand. Just sense into the top of your head. Some people who are bald have more difficulty with this, but that's okay. Wiggle your brows or something, and then you'll become aware of the top of your head. Or you can feel into the hair if you have hair. Yes, now that I mentioned it. Yeah. All right. So, can you feel into your left shoulder? I'm trusting that nobody here is standing on their left shoulder. Yes? Good. We got one yes. Some people find the shoulder easier. Okay. What happened to your foot? Anybody lose your foot? Yeah. Okay. So you see how your power of attention works. It goes from point to point by contracting. And you can notice the contraction by noticing it feels like a movement. So if you put your power of attention into your feet, just sense into your feet, and then sense into the top of your head. Did you notice a movement? You can go back and forth. Okay. That movement is, it looks like a movement, it's caused by a contraction. Okay? So your power of attention can contract, but it can also open. So you can feel your feet on the top of your head at the same time. Who can do that? Yes, attention opens. Opens and closes, otherwise known as opening and contracting. You got it, Susie? Good. I want to make sure my helper can do that. Dizzy, can you? To do this, you have to relax. You have to open. If it's stressful, it's because you're trying to contract. You're trying to go from your foot to your head at the same time, and you of course, can't do that. Okay, good. You've got it. Okay, so feel your feet, the top of your head. Take in your peripheral vision at the same time, and notice your breath moving in and moving out. Do that for an in-and-out breath or so. What's that like? Meditation like. What's it feel like? Cool, calm, breeze, really present, yeah? Is it quiet? Present, aware, alive, mm-hmm. Is it quiet? Why is it quiet? What's absent? Thinking is absent, thought is absent, yes. You're not in awareness, you're never outside of awareness. What's absent is the stream of stressful thinking. And the reason that's absent is because you've taken your power of attention away from the stream of thinking and you've put it into the senses. And yes, it is called meditation. But if I gave you an idea like meditation and you tried to do it, you'd be very busy doing it. Yes, it is very still. I call this coming to your senses. It is literally and figuratively coming to your senses. Okay? So when I work with people and I ask you to come to your senses, this is what I want you to do. So it's quiet, it's peaceful, because what's absent, or at least on a low level, is thought. But are you present? Yes. Anybody else can confirm? Good, DC. Are you present? You. Do you know you are present even without thought? Very good. Thank you, Joe. Everybody needs to confirm this for themselves, to check in your own direct experience. So you are present without thought. Huh. So you are not thought. Directly, not just as a thought. All right. Good. So then there's your power of interest. And somebody had mentioned the word intention. I like to use the word interest because intention has tension and ego. Although we can say that interest also does. And that's okay, we're going to use it. It's like using one thorn to remove another, and when we're done, we throw them both away. So your power of interest, what you are most interested in. When you put your power of attention into your senses, you were using your power of interest. You were putting your power of attention into your senses and not a thought. And when you are suffering, you're putting your power of attention into thought. Hearing is effortless. Awareness is effortless. So that's all we need to say about it. We don't need to do any more about it. Then there's your power of attention. And your power of attention I can demonstrate by asking you, yeah, you're welcome to stay here a bit. I can demonstrate your power of attention by asking you, are you feeling your right foot right now? Anybody? If you weren't sitting on it, you probably weren't feeling it. Are you feeling it now because I mentioned it? Is anybody feeling it before or just because I mentioned it? Pretty much because I mentioned it, right? Yeah, okay. There's always somebody who's sitting on their foot. Doesn't matter which one I pick. Yeah, because I mentioned it. Very good. All right, so what happened? Had your foot stopped feeling? Oh, maybe it did for you, Share 33, because you were sitting on it. But what had happened there, everybody else? Had your foot stopped feeling? Now, people will say, well, no, I didn't you know, I just wasn't paying attention to it. Yeah, people know that your foot didn't stop feeling. They'll say they weren't paying attention to it. What is this not paying attention to it? What is that? How can you not pay attention to something? You can't not pay attention to something. What's actually going on is that you have contracted your power of attention down onto one thing to the exclusion of everything else. And when that happens, you can lose awareness, not your actual awareness, but you can lose awareness that that sensation is there. So you can basically, in your experience, eliminate a body part. Not in reality, but in your experience. So if you can eliminate a body part, how much more can you eliminate access to knowledge, wisdom, information about other people? Very easily. And that's exactly what happens when you contract your power of attention down onto one tiny painful thought in your head. That's called unconsciousness. So, feel your feet, and then can you feel the top of your head? Anybody here can feel the top of their head? I mean, not with your hand. Just sense into the top of your head. Some people who are bald have more difficulty with this, but that's okay. Wiggle your brows or something, and then you'll become aware of the top of your head. Or you can feel into the hair if you have hair. Yes, now that I mentioned it. Yeah. All right. So can you feel into your left shoulder? I'm trusting that nobody here is standing on their left shoulder. Yes, good. We got one yes. Some people find the shoulder easier. Okay. What happened to your foot? Anybody lose your foot? Yeah, okay. So you see how your power of attention works. It goes from point to point by contracting. And you can notice the contraction by noticing it feels like a movement. So if you put your power of attention into your feet, just sense into your feet, and then sense into the top of your head. Did you notice a movement? You can go back and forth. That movement is, it looks like a movement, it's caused by a contraction. Okay? So, your power of attention can contract, but it can also open. So, you can feel your feet and the top of your head at the same time. Who can do that? Yes, attention opens. Opens and closes, otherwise known as opening and contracting. You got it, Susie? Good. I want to make sure my helper can do that. Dizzy, can you? To do this, you have to relax. You have to open. If it's stressful, it's because you're trying to contract. You're trying to go from your foot to your head at the same time, and you, of course, can't do that. Okay, good. You've got it. Okay, so feel your feet, the top of your head. Take in your peripheral vision at the same time. And notice your breath moving in and moving out. Do that for an in-and-out breath or so. What's that like? Meditation like? What's it feel like? Cool, calm breeze, really present, yeah? Is it quiet? Present, aware, alive, Is it quiet? Yeah. Why is it quiet? what's absent? Thinking is absent, thought is absent, yes. You're not in awareness, you're never outside of awareness. What's absent is the stream of stressful thinking. And the reason that's absent is because you've taken your power of attention away from the stream of thinking and you've put it into the senses. And yes, it is called meditation. But if I gave you an idea like meditation and you tried to do it, you'd be very busy doing it. Yes, it is very still. I call this coming to your senses. It is literally and figuratively coming to your senses. Okay? So when I work with people and I ask you to come to your senses, this is what I want you to do. So it's quiet, it's peaceful, because what's absent, or at least on a low level, is thought. But are you present? Yes. Anybody else can confirm? Good, DZ. Are you present? You. Do you know you are present even without thought? Very good. Thank you, Joe. Everybody needs to confirm this for themselves, to check in your own direct experience. So you are present without thought. Huh. So you are not thought. Directly, not just as a thought. All right. Good. So then there's your power of interest. And somebody had mentioned the word intention. I like to use the word interest because intention has tension and ego. Although we can say that interest also does. And that's okay, we're going to use it. It's like using one thorn to remove another, and when we're done, we throw them both away. So your power of interest, what you are most interested in. When you put your power of attention into your senses, you were using your power of interest. You were putting your power of attention into your senses and not a thought. And when you are suffering, you are putting your power of attention into thought. And you can do this so thoroughly that you can believe yourself to be a thought because you eliminate everything else in your experience. Okay, now let's come back to Easy and your situation. All right, and I want you to now just come to your senses, feel your feet, the top of your head, take in your peripheral vision. And come on the line and tell us, how does, you know, that person saying that you're a stellar fundraiser feel? How does them saying you're a stellar fundraiser feel?
It feels great. It feels validated or acknowledged.
Great. Okay. I want some more words, okay? If I could speak to you in real time, I'd be asking you for some more. So validated, acknowledged, sure. What else is there?
I guess my esteem feels raised. I feel connected. I don't know what else.
Okay, take your time. I really want you to explore this. Sometimes we offer to ask, does it feel like this if you get stuck? And feel free to say, no, that's not really it. Or, yeah, that's it. Okay. I just want this to come out and flow as much as we can get out of you so it feels validated, acknowledged, your esteem is raised, feels connected. What else? And would you like some other suggestions? Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So if I'm a stellar fundraiser, I feel virile, you know. I feel like on top of the world. I feel that I am the best. I feel real. That's it.
Great. That was awesome. Yeah, I totally agree. You feel validated, acknowledged, high esteem, connected, virile, top of the world. You're the best. You feel real. Love it. Okay. All right, so come to your senses. Feel your feet, the top of your head. Take in your peripheral vision. Notice your breath moving in and moving out. And I'm going to ask you again, and this time I want you to ask your body. I want you to look for the answer in your body, from your body. How does being validated, acknowledged, connected, virile, top of the world, and I am the best, how does real feel in the body? And take your time. You know, you might find yourself scanning the body. Memories might pop up. Thoughts might pop up. That's okay. Allow whatever supports the answer to this question. Okay? So take your time. And when you start to connect with this in the body as, you know, feeling, just indulge in it, just enjoy it, just appreciate it, keep your power of attention in the body, okay? So how does them saying you're a stellar fundraiser, how does being validated and acknowledged and connected and virile and top of the world and you're the best, and how does real feel in the body? Take your time.
Honestly, Cindy, in my body, it feels that I don't know if it feels dead or what. It feels like it doesn't need that if I'm in my body. I don't know.
Okay, I think what's going on here is that you're used to answering as a thought, and when you go into the body, you're not going to get a thought. When you go to the body for an answer, you're not going to get a thought, and that's the whole point. And if you're not used to feeling in the body, it may take some time at first, and that's okay. So take your time and look. I mean, when you said, you know, that you are the best and in real, you weren't just saying it. There was some bodily feeling. And I want you to sense into the body like you sense into your feet or your head. Sense into that and feel how that feels in the body. So go ahead, take your time again. Come to your senses. And it may take some time, and that's okay. We have time. Everybody can do this. I suggest everybody have this experience because everybody has felt rejected or ignored or disconnected at some point in their lives. And so it's always valuable to practice this. And when I work with a group of people and I'm working with one particular person, sometimes near the middle or the end, somebody else, one or two people pop up and go, ah, I got it. And so they were doing their own inner work at the same time. You see, you don't need me to do this, but once you learn it. So take your time. Feel your feet, the top of your head. And just scan your body for how validated, acknowledged, virile, top of the world, I am the best feels in the body. Go ahead.
Well, I feel an increased vibration when I feel those words. I feel an increased vibration. I feel alive in the body. I feel, I guess, alive, like there's a very increased vibration. And maybe light. I feel light.
Great. Good work. Yeah, so you notice the energy in your body. There's always energy in your body. Life energy is always there. And just noticing that is useful. And when you put your attention on how it feels in the body, how validation and acknowledgement feels in the body, you'll notice an increased vibration or change of some sort and a very alive feeling and the lightness. Good. So is this how you prefer to feel?
Yes, it is how I prefer to feel. But having practiced feeling it on my own.
Yes, that's right. And so at first it may be unfamiliar, and that's okay. That's a good sign. It means you're learning something. Okay, so the longer you stay with it, the more familiar it becomes, the better it gets. So just enjoy it for a moment. Keep your attention in the body on the increased vibration, the aliveness, the lightness. How being told you're a stellar fundraiser feels in the body, how validated and acknowledged and connected and top of the world and I'm the best, and how real feels in the body, okay? And just enjoy that. And when you have sort of a grasp on it with your power of attention in the body, you can do that. It might be all over the body. It might be in some particular area. Just hold your power of attention on it and enjoy it. And then appreciate it, because you said it does feel better. So just appreciate it. You might notice a smile come across your face. And so enjoy that. What happens when you appreciate it? It expands, usually, or it increases somehow. Good, she's smiling. All right, tell me about it.
Well, yeah, as I thought about being a stellar, top of the world, viral fundraiser, I just felt good. And like I said, it brought a smile to my face. And I'm not suffering like I have been for the past 4 or 5 days since the meeting.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Good work. See how quickly it can happen. And it all just depends on where your power of attention is and what you prefer, what you are most interested in. And if you're most interested in feeling good, and then you will. Just how it works. So because you prefer this, okay, sustain it is the most important thing, all right? I want you to keep your power of attention there, hooked onto that. Don't let it go for nobody's money, okay? Do me a yes for that. All right. Because it is the most important thing. It is the most important thing that you feel good. All right. Because with feeling good comes access to wisdom, knowledge, information that you didn't have before. You'll see that here. So sustain that as the most important thing. And I want to ask you, what do you think about them now? Come on back on the mic. And what do you think about what happened now? But sustain this and tell me if you drop it, okay?
I guess I kind of feel like they're irrelevant. That what they think of me is really irrelevant. It just depends on what I want for me.
Very good. Good work. You see how when you shift your state, your perspective changes. Okay. let's explore a bit more. What do you think of them now? Sustain this is the most important thing, keeping your attention in the good feeling of, you know, being that stellar, viral, top-of-the-world fundraiser, all right? And what do you think now about those people?
I guess what they think of me, it's kind of a pat answer. It's none of my business. You hear that all the time. But what I think of them is that I guess want the best for them too. I want to see them succeed or whatever. I think that's, yeah, I just want the best for them, yes.
Okay, so answer this quickly. Who then was being condescending?
Okay, I'm laughing. I was.
Very good, very good. All right, and what do you, let's see, who shamed you?
I shamed me with believing my thoughts about me. I mean, I believed that for a long time.
Yeah, very good. Very clear scene. You can see that now from this state. But when you're in a bad feeling state, you don't have access to this knowledge, and you're certainly not going to be receptive to it. So you can see how you shamed you. You can probably see how you shamed them. So let me ask you this, though. Are you unworthy?
No, I'm not unworthy. I guess by the mere fact of my existence, I'm not unworthy. And I guess unworthy is just an idea, a thought.
Yes, they all are. Everything is just a thought. There's no truth here whatsoever. However, there's bad feeling thoughts and there's good feeling thoughts, and there's thoughts that serve you and thoughts that don't serve you. And you know which one you're paying attention to by the pain. So again, comes back to this being our radar. All right, so let me ask you this and answer it quickly. If you still have the good state of being a stellar, virile, top-of-the-world fundraiser, who did you need to validate you? Who did you need to acknowledge you?
I clearly abandoned myself. I needed me to acknowledge me.
Woo-hoo! Absolutely. You quit acknowledging you. You quit validating you. You see, we need to give ourselves what we're denying ourselves, because nobody else is denying it for us. Nobody else can deny it for us. So if you're hurting, it's purely and simply because something you're doing to yourself, not what anybody else is doing to you, or not what anything else is doing to you. Let me ask you this now. What do you think about this assessment that you got? What do you think of this write-up now? What do you think about this job?
I guess, actually, it's inconsequential. The only thing that matters is how I feel about me and my relationship with me.
You are so wise. See the wisdom you all have? All right. Now I want to know about the job itself, this fundraising thing, and having been gotten, you know, diverted from perhaps maybe not getting the best leads. And what's going to happen now with this performance watch that you're under?
By January, I'm responsible for raising top-level gifts, leadership gifts. By January, I will have had to gotten three major gifts in the door. We're a community college, and community colleges don't traditionally have the alumni base that can give it those levels. So, but that's what I'm responsible for getting in the door by January. And by January, if I haven't gotten those, that number of quantity of gifts in, then I'm essentially, it's not going to be, the next steps will be taken. They didn't literally write that out, but it's assumed that I will be let go.
Do you think that is doable? Is there anything in your way? Are they giving you any support for that? Is this something you want to engage in?
I do want to engage in it because it's the problem that I see that I have, which would be a whole nother session, is that I'm afraid to make cold calls because I feel I'm going to be rejected. I think it could be doable in the sense that I have developed, I've been at this current position for over 2 years, and I have developed some relationships. But you have to have relationships to get those level of gifts. So if I quit listening to Awakening Radio during the day and just get out the door, then it's I think it's doable.
Okay, so if it's doable, though, but do you want to do it, given the situation? Is there anything else you'd rather do? I've heard a little bit of things from you that make you question, you sound like you're questioning whether this is what you really want to be doing. And I want you to sustain, come back to it if you've lost it a little bit, feel into the body and notice how being a stellar, viral, top-of-the-world fundraiser is. How, validated, acknowledged feels, okay? And have you been validated and acknowledged here? Are you supported here? Would your stellar skills be more appreciated elsewhere, or is this workable?
I have questioned whether I wanted to be in this area of fundraising. There's a more behind-the-scenes area of fundraising that I have been in before, and I do like. This is more out front, but I have wanted to tackle this area because of this feeling, this fear that I get when I have to call a stranger, and I haven't wanted that fear to dominate me. So there's that fear of rejection. So I've wanted to conquer that in this type of position, just for generally in life, because I didn't want to feel afraid or be afraid of rejection.
Well, congratulations then, because you've already conquered it. You're speaking to a stranger, and in quite an intimate way, opening right up. So, well done. All right. I wanted to get you to just look at the whole ecology of everything while you're in this good state. It's the best state to do this from. Don't ever look at ecology from a bad feeling state. It'll just go nowhere. So, good for you. All right, so feeling this way, how do you act now? Feeling like a stellar, viral, top-of-the-world fundraiser.
Well, I act self-assured. Self-assured and humble.
Beautiful. And how much more likely is being self-assured and humble to get you where you want to go, to get you the results you want to get?
Well, I think those two traits would get me where I would want to get. I mean, I think that donors or prospective donors sense whether you really care about their interests, but also are capable of feeling self-assured. They know that their gifts are coming to an organization that is worthy of it.
Right on. Okay. And you sound extremely self-assured to me, I have to let you know. I'm sure to other people here too, but we could ask them. So, yes. So, feeling self-assured, yes, is much more likely to get you where you want. And so, is this how you prefer to act?
Yes, it's definitely the way I prefer to act in my chosen profession. It's important, yes.
Very good. It's important to notice this, because then you will choose it above all else. You will choose it above all else. So you had this job performance review thing going on, this write-up, which maybe you could see now. Has it been your friend?
Yes, it's been my friend. It's and it's no, I guess, coincidence that you're here tonight. it's my friend to help me to learn to love myself.
Yeah, to love yourself, to give yourself whatever you want, to not let a bad feeling get in your way, no matter the source, the apparent source. To realize that the source is always within, and there's nothing stopping you now. So congratulations, you're done. And thank you so much for playing in this demonstration. Does anybody have a question? I think somebody had a question up a while ago, but he may have left. I'll open the mic to anybody who has a question. NDZ, if you want to say anything, I'll let you just step in here. Thank you again.
I get this. It's really just that simple. And is this like a process that you should work with through any of the negative feelings that come up? And you also had mentioned earlier about going out into the woods and doing self-inquiry. Would this be the type of process you would use to do the self-inquiry?
I would highly suggest that you use this all the time, anywhere, anytime you notice a bad feeling. Absolutely, because you will free yourself from attachments. And attachments are beliefs that you need something outside of you. And when you become self-fulfilling, again and again and again, at some point you will have the realization of, oh my God, like I did, I am completely free. I need nothing. And that will help you on the level of the world. It will help you on the level of removing ideas about yourself. Because no idea about yourself is you. Now, self-inquiry can be extremely radical in removing all ideas about you. And if anybody is drawn to that, I definitely encourage you to go out and indulge in that all the way. So whatever arises in the moment, you can use alchemy, you can use these questions, or you can use self-inquiry. If self-inquiry isn't getting you anywhere, shift your state. So come to your senses, ask, look at what you want. Don't deny what you want. Don't try and be bigger than it. Don't try and skip it. Look directly at it. And then ask yourself how it feels. You do know how it feels. The body does know how it feels, or you wouldn't know there's a problem. So Shift your state. The power is in the state, not in thinking, because thinking is a slippery slope. You notice when you have a feeling and you can put your power of attention into the body, it's very tangible. It's very steady. You're using the body, which is always here and now, to bring the mind down out of the past and out of the future. This is why some people say it feels like presence. So the body is always here for you. It may be held hostage sometimes when you are all knotted up in your head. This is how we can sit on our foot and not even know it. Or we can, some people run through red lights because they are knotted up in their heads and they don't see. You see, it's not the eyes that see. It's the mind that sees. I have stories on that. Entertaining, real, true stories. So, use the body. It's always here for you. It'll never let you down. Use your three powers. Use at least the first two questions. Because if you can very powerfully come to the habit of using the first two questions, what do I want? How does it feel? That will take you a long way. So we have another question here. So how does it apply to being on the job, humility versus ego? There is still a commitment that needs to be accomplished. I'm not worried about the commitment. If you shift your state as she did, and as she saw, now she feels self-assured. Now she feels like she can go out and do this. And as she continues, I would encourage you to continue contemplating on this, okay, Deezy, because you'll get more access to wisdom. You'll get more ideas. You might go back to the company and say, yeah, all fine and good. How are you going to support me? Okay, I want to do this. How are you going to support me? and you may find other supports that will help you get there. So these are practical, worldly things, and they're all fine and good. They'll come to you easily and effortlessly. When you feel bad, bad thoughts come to you easily and effortlessly. You become as if you're this tiny little being, which you're not. And when you feel good, good thoughts come to you easily and effortlessly. So which do you prefer? That's the third question. All right, which do you prefer? It comes down to you do have this choice of where your power of attention goes. You don't have a choice of what happens to you. It's happened. But whatever happens, you can have the experience of good or bad or neutral, although it's hard for most people to find neutral if they don't even know they can do good or bad. All right, so thank God we have this flexibility that nobody else can do it for you. Nobody can point your power of attention onto a bad thought, feeling, and keep you there. Now, that would be hell. Okay? So hell is optional. Completely optional. And what separates heaven and hell is one thought. And that's in your worldly life, and that's in your spiritual life. And the one thought that separates heaven and hell in your spiritual life is me, the thought of a separate self. And that's what self-inquiry will take care of for you. And I do help people with self-inquiry, too, the ones that are so inclined to do that. So, any other questions for tonight? All right. All very welcome. Cindy Tevens is my name. You can get the audio recordings of me working with people in under various different issues and problems, some very extreme ones. You see, it doesn't matter what the content of the suffering is. The structure of suffering is always the same. Always the same. And that's the beauty of this. When you learn how you're suffering, you can stop doing it. It doesn't matter what the content is. It doesn't matter what has happened to you. Yes, and you can get those CDs at innerpeaceofmind.com, Inner Peace of Mind. It also comes with one private session with me to help you get your on your way. Thank you, Christian. I have been very gifted. I am very blessed, and I am ever eternally grateful beyond beyond what words can say. There is nothing I can say. There's only I can do. And that is in talking and sharing and helping. And the more I do that, though, the more I get, the more gratitude, because it is such a gift to see people make this shift, to see the light bulb go on, to see the suffering end. There's no words for it, so I'll give up. It's an awkward technology here. We can't have a fluid conversation. I don't mind doing it once in a while if somebody really wants me to, but this is much, much, much better done on the telephone, over Skype, or on a webinar. So, yes, it worked out very well. Yes, I can do Skype. You were an awesome, awesome subject, Deezy. I really am very grateful for you coming forward and sharing, because you've helped everybody in this room and anybody who listens to this recording. Blessings to you. Thank you. And generations. I think you've helped generations. We need to expose this happiness lie, so that people no longer seek their happiness in worldly things, because it's not there. And if we don't do this, the suffering will get worse. It's gotten worse generation after generation. So everybody who helps me helps infinite generations down the line. Thank you. There, Lynn got something out of it, too. I had a fellow on today who we had to kick out. Once in a while, you have to do that. That's okay. But it was fascinating in Facebook chat, because he came on with a name that would imply he's a guru of some sort. And, you know, everything and everybody is a gift. Everything and everybody is a teacher. And this man came on questioning me and questioning and questioning and pushing and pushing and pushing. And all the while, I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell what was his intention, what was his purpose. But all the while, I saw it as this amazing gift. He was pulling answers out of me that nobody has ever pulled out of me before, you know, and getting me to take a good hard look at things and confirming very, very deeply that I can't even say what's been confirmed, but it's been confirmed. And you know, eventually this guy got kicked out. And then there was the idea that, you know, he was this, that, or the other. And I just didn't see him that way. I just didn't see him that way. I'm very grateful for him pushing the envelope, so to speak. Because, you know what happens when I started doing this? A change goes on in the psyche that you're not even aware of sometimes, because it's so gradual. And about a year and a half ago or so, maybe 2 years, I came across a list. It was in somebody's book, and it was a list of, you know, if you do this, that, and the other, this, that, and the other, then you are a warrior. You're battling something internally. And I looked at that list and I went, oh my God, I used to do all those things and I'd forgotten about it. And so, like, I had totally forgotten about it, because I had changed. This body-mind personality had changed so gradually that I didn't notice it. So when someone comes on, sometimes it's a learning for you to see, wow, how much you've changed and how you don't have to touch any judgmental thoughts about anybody, never mind yourself. It doesn't matter what anybody does. You don't have to touch the thought. If you don't think it, where is it? Nowhere. And whatever happens can happen, and it's here and it's gone before you know it, and there's nothing to say about it. It's really funny and very entertaining. So use your power of attention. Hold it in the body. Don't touch a thought. And then see what you have to report. Feel free to write me, anybody, if you like. You can contact me through the website. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Gone like the figures in a dream when I wake up. Welcome, everybody. Blessings, love, and light. Joy. Seek joy, okay? Just because you can. 24/7. 24/7. Why not? Why not? Cheers.